Welcome to Overflow, an Osage Hills podcast, where we explore the parts of Sunday's sermon that didn't make it to the platform, dive into upcoming events, and unpack why we do what we do as a church. This week, Nate, Mark, and Adam are unpacking last Sunday's message about being Christian-ish. We're talking about what it means to bear our hearts to God fully, the difference between vengeance and justice, and so much more. Stick around as we explore these powerful truths and how they apply to our daily lives. Here we go.
Hello. Welcome.
Yeah, hello, guys.
Welcome.
Welcome to Overflow.
Hello.
I'm Nate. I'm here with Mark and Adam. And today we are going to talk about the different things that we have going on here at the church, at Osage Hills Christian Church, and also some of the things that we didn't get to cover, or I didn't get to cover this past weekend, but briefly touched on. So right now, let's get started with some of the ways that you can get involved at Osage Hills. I mean, we have a very busy calendar for the Next Gen Ministry right now. Adam, why don't you tell us a few of the different things you have going on?
Yeah, we've got a lot of great stuff happening. So this coming weekend is Superstart. That is a CIY event that's made for, you know, that middle age, middle school, late elementary. So it's fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. We're going to get together and go to a CIY event at the Mabee Center.
That's
over
awesome.
On the campus of ORU. And it's just an experience. You know, CIY does amazing things with Next Gen Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just great. And they formulated and crafted this experience that's specifically for kids in that fourth, fifth, and sixth grade season of life.
Yeah, I've seen. It's quite incredible.
Yeah. So we're doing that this coming weekend. So if you have a fourth, fifth, or sixth grader and you'll be listening to this on Wednesday. If you got a kiddo who's not registered and you want them to be a part of Superstart, I really need to know by Wednesday evening,
yeah,
by today,
yeah.
So that I can get everybody in and registered.
That's March 5th, y'all.
Yeah.
March 5th.
So Superstart this coming weekend. The next week, on the 12th, we have our big event. So if you remember, we had the snow and ice that came through and canceled our big event for February.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done is we've just taken that same plan and we've moved it to Wednesday, the 12th of March. We're going to have a meal planned for you. It's just going to be an evening again to be together as a family and to worship and to learn about God. And we'll be focusing on the way that God pours his love into us. So that we can pour our love and care into others as well.
Great.
And then finally, at the end of the month for spring break, we're going to have our student serving days. So that is for our student part of our Next Gen, so 6th through 12th grade, on the 20th and 21st. It's a Thursday and Friday. Thursday, we're going to volunteer at the Food Bank of Eastern Oklahoma. And then we'll have potentially a movie, depending on what movies are out. I'll take the kids and do something fun that afternoon. And then we will have dinner here at the church for the kids, and obviously families are invited to that as well. And then Friday, Friday the 21st, we'll be working at Hospitality House of Tulsa, helping them with some of their facilities and just making it look good for
awesome.
for their guests. And then Friday afternoon, I am taking our students glass blowing, which
Ooh.
Is a really exciting event, and parents, don't worry. My daughters went to the same Tulsa glass blowing school, and you know they're 9 and 12, and they did not burn themselves. So Tulsa
Great.
Glass blowing is going to be incredibly safe, but it's also really really cool because your kids are going to get to make either a glass paperweight or a glass flower that they will actually get to do the glass blowing themselves.
That's cool.
Really cool experience. And then we'll end that evening with kind of a cookout. I'm going to bring the grill out and invite all families of our students to come and just have a dinner with us, kind of camp out style. To
tomahawk steaks.
I have no idea what those are, but if you buy them, Nate, I will cook them. So
probably not.
Yes, you heard it here, guys. Tomahawk steaks on Pastor Nate.
Please don't do that.
No, not going to.
Don't ruin a tomahawk steak.
No.
Still don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's why we don't want you to do it.
Then you're getting chicken.
Sounds great. There's another thing that's getting ready to start for the ladies of the church.
Ladies.
Yep. It's a Loved to Life 6-week study that Anastasia is leading during the Sunday morning
9 o'clock.
Hour. 9 o'clock on Sundays. So, but it's a 40-day pilgrimage through the Gospel of John, and it's getting ready to start here pretty soon, starting March 16th, and it lasts through Easter weekend. So it's kind of Lenten, I think, a little bit. It's a 40-day thing. So I don't exactly know everything about it, but all I know is that Anastasia is really excited about it.
Great.
So, yeah, and it's an Ann Voskamp study together. But you need to register and order your book before March 5th. So, like, that's today. That's, if you're listening to this, that's today. You need to register today and get on and order your book so that it's here in time for you to start the class. So, but if you have any questions for any of these things and want to find other ways to get involved, download the Church Center app and search for Osage Hills Christian Church. We have a lot of different ways that you can get plugged in and partner with us.
Yeah. Speaking of Lent, happy Ash Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Is that today?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Happy Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
Beginning of your Lenten season. And yeah, glad that we're doing this together.
Yeah.
As a church. If you have the Church Center app, you can go on and you will see a highlighted YouVersion Bible plan, which is a 40-day Lenten Bible study produced by the Worship Initiative. And so if you're looking for something to study through this season, we encourage you to do that with us.
Yeah.
But now to today's episode.
Yeah. Now let's move on to something that I wasn't able to get to. I actually just kind of touched on a little bit on Sunday. We're in this series called Christian-ish. This was week 4, and this message was titled, When God Doesn't Do It. And the key thing is here, true faith is relational. It's not transactional. It's about knowing and loving God for who He is, not just for what He does, which I think that a lot of Christians, it's very easy for us to move into a type of faith that makes it about what God is going to do or what He's not going to do for us. And I think it's one of those things we don't really catch very well. Eventually it becomes like, you know, God, I'm checking all the boxes here. How come I'm not getting the things that I want? Mm-hmm. And that's when we can recognize really when our faith has become something that's transactional instead of relational. It is meant to be a relationship based off trust. And, you know, what the Bible calls, or what Christians have called, faith for a very long time. If it's not based off that, if it's based off something else, it tends to be a transactional kind of thing. And I don't know of very many relationships that I have, if it's a 50-50 thing, that they ever go any deeper than a transaction. Because if it's a 50-50, then your relationship's doomed to a life of favors. It's right. It's just favors. If they don't live up to their end and I'm given my 50%, then I don't have to give my 50% because they're not. And that's why marriage should never be a 50-50 thing. And I was thinking about this the other day, based off the podcast that we did on Monday, The Covenant of Marriage, you know? It's God says that the two become one. He doesn't say that the two stay two and operate on a 50-50 basis. It's now they together form one entity, one identity that is meant to move together as one in life,
right?
Especially for the purposes of God. And here's the other thing. Scripture talks about our relationship with Christ in a very similar way. When we're baptized into Him, we're uniting ourselves with His death and His resurrection. Paul says that Christ is our life. He's not 50% of our life. He's not a portion of our life when it's convenient to us. It's all of it. And so it's very much of a unifying thing where even now, when Jesus prayed for it in John 17, may we be one as a church, as he and the Father are one, and may we be one in him. So there's this whole concept of oneness here. But, you know, allow me to digress a little bit.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's not a transactional faith. It's not about what God does. It's about who he is. You know, he's a loving God.
Yeah. And the thing that comes to my mind as you're talking about that is the song that we've been singing recently at church, Abide.
Mm. Yeah.
Just based on, you know, abide in me. I am the vine mm-hmm. branch.
I'm the vine or the branch. No, yeah.
You are the vine. I am the branch, or I am the branch, and you are the vine.
This is really great, listening.
The other way around. Guys, we're doing fantastic.
Notch
top podcasting.
No, but the concept of abiding in Christ instead of him being, you know, this resource that you pull out mm-hmm. when you need him. That's a totally different way to approach life and your relationship with Christ is abiding in him, being constantly connected
right.
and reliant mm-hmm. on him mm-hmm. For everything, not just, right. you know, oh man, guy cut me off in traffic and now I'm real mad about it.
Oh,
so
gosh.
God, steal my heart, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's more about being conscious and present with Christ in your day-to-day mind and attitude rather than, you know, just utilizing him as a resource.
Right, right. And I've got to say, I want to kind of hit that last point one more time before I go into the little bit that I just briefly touched on Sunday. The last point was, if you're doing God's will just to get God's stuff, you're missing God's heart. You're doing it just to get his stuff, then you don't really know who God is very well. You have an idea of who he is. And it's really treating God, I think how we opened up, treating him like he's a vending machine or like mm-hmm. he's Santa Claus. You mm-hmm. give him your wish list and pray real hard and do everything right to make sure that he fulfills it. But that's not really a relationship. It's a right. kind of relationship, but it's really missing the point. So, but here's the thing. If your relationship is based off a legitimate trust, I think, but even if it's not, it is perfectly fine to pour your soul out to God and say, why is this happening to me?
Right.
There is no reason why you should think that you have to bottle up the frustrations that you're feeling when you're not getting mm-hmm. what you feel like. You're not getting the benefits of the relationship in that moment. Like we touched on some of those things, you know. I've raised my kids in church and they're falling away. It seems like they're falling away from you here now that they're moving on into independence. God, I've dealt with that. And, or there's all this other stuff. Like, how come I'm doing everything that you're telling me to do, and I'm scraping by. I'm just barely making it every month, and sometimes I'm not making it. I want to make sure that I am faithful to him, and it goes like this: a little argument that I've had it in my head too. I've committed ever since I've given my life to Christ to give God at least 10%. And as I've gotten older, my salary has increased. That's a lot of money. And I think, man, you know how nice it would be to just afford what I need to take care of and just keep that.
Right.
And, but then it's not based, you see, if I keep it, it's not me trusting in God in that moment to provide what I need to cover it. It's me taking what I've already committed to him for myself. And then my relationship with God changes. God is keeping something from me. And what that illuminates to me is, man, I'm right back in the garden here. Am I going to trust that God says, you know, don't, you know, I'm committed to being obedient to him. And the enemy whispers in your ear, God's lying to you. Mm. He's keeping something from you. He's keeping from you the knowledge of good and bad. And you can just take this fruit. Nothing's going to happen to you. Nothing's going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. You'll be fine. I'm like, one little step, man. One little step. And that's kind of, that's one of those instances where I realize, man, it's okay. It's okay to pour out your soul to God and have him work in you.
Yeah, I think even more than just that it's okay. I mean, I think that
it's expected.
I think it's required. Yeah, yeah. I think and I appreciate that you kind of go in there because, I mean, there have been countless times in my life where, you know, if it's the pride in me or if it's the, you know, whatever it is where I've thought like, God, what are you doing? Why am I not seeing this? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm frustrated and I'm not seeing the things. Like I've devoted my entire life to serving you. My whole family's here. We've moved so many times and this is mm-hmm. all these different things. And God, why? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's for me in those moments, in some ways it's that wrestling that God invites us to that has in many ways grown my faith.
Yeah.
So it's good to wrestle. God expects us to wrestle. And I think in a lot of ways it can be refining.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it reminds me of a psalm in particular. There's a few psalms actually. Asaph is the author of this, where he writes this, and I'm going to read some of it. You know, he opens up here in Psalm 74, God, why have you rejected us forever?
That's intense.
Like,
why have you rejected us?
Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? You know, remember your congregation, which you purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your inheritance, and this Mount Zion where you have dwelt. Step toward the irreparable ruins. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your adversaries have roared in the midst of your meeting place. They have set up their own signs as signs. It seems like one bringing up his axe into a forest of trees. And now they break down all its carved work with axe and hammers. They have burned your sanctuary to the ground. They've defiled the dwelling place of your name. They said in their heart, let's completely subdue them. They have burned all the meeting places of God in the land. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor is there anyone among us who knows how long. How long, God, will the enemy taunt you? You see what I mean? It's just like this, and this continues on for a long time. Why do you withdraw your hand? It's like something's not right here in this situation that I'm facing. There's another psalm, and I'm trying to find it, and I don't exactly remember what it is, but I mean, you get this idea where Asaph is just kind of really going through it.
He's having a bad day.
Where everything that's happening to him just is terrible. And I mean, there's a lot of psalms that he's written, like, how could you let this happen, Lord? How could you let this happen? And in one particular instance, he's writing about how he's seeing all this stuff that's happening around him. The bad guys are winning. They're attacking him. And things just aren't right. All is not right in the land of God's people. And as they're succeeding over and over again, he says, you know, the righteous are being punished. This is, you know, why can't we be like that? Why can't we just kind of compromise a little bit? And then he says, what comes to mind is their end. Then what comes to mind is their end, where you have set up the consequences. Their future is determined. And so is that future of those who are faithful to you. And it's like, man, talk about looking to God as a relational God instead of what, you know, as a transaction. Like, he's pouring out his heart. Don't get me wrong. It's perfectly fine. But to also recognize that, hey, just because everybody else seems to be winning and you seem to be going through it, are you going to trust God in the middle of this? And do you remember that wickedness does not end well? You know, the compromise does not end well. There's a consequence. And I'd say, you know, in my life, I've dealt with those kinds of things where, you know, someone, like you said, Mark, someone cuts you off in traffic. I mean, there are Western gestures that are meant to alleviate some of that stress that you feel, I guess, but that's not for the Christian to do.
Right.
Jesus says to pray for your enemies, pray for those who persecute you and bless them. And so maybe instead of one finger, you put up three in like an I love you sign.
Aw, that's
you know, so maybe try and figure out something a little bit different.
It just says they cut you off, just scream, bless you.
Yeah. Which there was somebody I knew who did that a couple times and it totally threw me off. But it was a good portrait of what it means to allow the Holy Spirit to infect your heart and your mind, so that you transform your response to those who do something that you, when you feel violated. So there's another type of psalm in the scriptures, I think, that makes everyone scratch their heads when they read it. Have you heard of an imprecatory psalm?
I have.
Yeah.
For those of us who obviously have heard them, but don't know what the word imprecatory means. Not saying that I don't know. What does the word imprecatory mean?
Imprecatory psalms express a desire for God to pour out vengeance, justice, or wrath on their enemies.
Yeah.
And can include like a divine curse or something like that.
To bring the boom.
Yeah.
Let's just call them boom bringing psalms. No.
They're essentially a plea for God to act for those who could not. A majority of the time, this would come from someone who is experiencing something that is not good, and they're powerless. Mm. So they're being oppressed, and what they're praying for is that God would basically turn the tables so that they experience the very thing that they're experiencing in that moment.
Okay, so let me try to break this down so that I can understand and so that we maybe could all understand for mm-hmm. those of us who may not be familiar. If I am going through a season where I'm struggling and I just can't seem to make ends meet, but I see people in the world who aren't following you, who aren't doing these things, mm-hmm. who haven't committed themselves to you, and they seem to be flourishing. God, give me that and help have them experience what it's like to not make ends meet.
Yeah.
Is that along the same lines?
Yeah, yeah. Something
I mean,
like that.
Obviously, very high view.
That's a very, yeah, that's honestly probably a good way to modernize that.
Right, right.
But like here's one in Psalm 137. These are people who are in the captivity of Babylon, okay? And it says that they're done. How can we sing the songs of Zion? You know, how can we be involved with the worship of God? It says, if I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May it not be able to do what it's able to do. And then he says, remember, Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, those who said, lay it bare to its foundation. Daughter of Babylon, you devastated one, blessed will be one who repays you with the retribution with which you have repaid us. Blessed will be the one who seizes and dashes your children against the rock. Well, good grief.
Yikes.
Yeah. I mean, this correlation between this call for vengeance from those exiled in Babylon, it kind of alludes to this, what is known as the lex talionis. It is the eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand and foot for a foot idea. It's equal vengeance, equal justice. So, but here in the New Testament now, the question is, should a Christian pray something like this today in the midst of the things that we're going through? And I would argue that the, let me just say, this has been a longstanding debate. Right. And people have a lot of different feelings about this. Here's the thing. It is not the Christian's role to physically carry out vengeance based off imprecatory appeals, but leave room for God's wrath. Romans 12:19 says not to. Leave room for God's wrath. It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says right. the Lord. So you do not lift your hand against, you know, to respond to unjust suffering in the same way that they're treating you. So it's, and really, by doing that, it's being obedient to God, which stems forth from a love and surrender to our Savior, who ultimately suffered injustice as well. Mm-hmm. And even prayed for his enemies while he was hanging on the cross. Think about it. Right. Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So there's, and I believe there's nothing wrong with praying for justice. It's appropriate. And we should pray for ourselves and Christian brothers who are standing for Christ in the face of injustice. You know, like we've been sending out those prayer requests for the Christian Indian mission.
Central, exactly.
Look, there's Christians that are being persecuted around the world, and justice is necessary. It's in Revelation 2 there as well, I should say, as well. It's not in Revelation 2.
Right.
How long, God? How long will you allow the injustice of your holy ones? And so I think what we should do is wait while we're waiting on God to act. Mm-hmm. And while we're praying for him to act justly, the appropriate response for us is to love them as Jesus has called us to love.
Right.
You know, and I think for the modern Christian, the hinge point, I think, is the difference between vengeance and justice.
Right.
Yeah.
Seeking justice is appropriate. Mm-hmm. If someone is doing something wrong and hurting others—
Right.
Justice is appropriate.
Yeah, justice is biblical.
Vengeance is when you, kind of what you were talking about, Adam.
Right.
Like, they are getting off easy.
Right.
And they don't even love you, God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want you to burn their house down.
Yeah.
It's like, why?
Yeah. What?
What is that going to do?
Yes.
And I think we've confused the two.
Oh, sure. Certainly. Yes. Yes. Most definitely.
It feels like there's this modern Christian, like, I love Jesus, so everyone else, you can just kick dirt.
Kick rocks.
Yeah. You know, like, and that's not at all the biblical model for Christianity.
Right.
But it seems like there's been a confusion.
Right.
It also has, like, this conversation has made me think, like, you know, we want equal and correct judgment, and the first thing that I thought of when we were talking through that is like, but Christian, do you really? Because if you want judgment that is allotted to you, it doesn't end well, right? Mm. The only reason we don't have to bear that judgment is because of Christ,
right?
So if you want to say, Christian, I want that judgment for them. I want it to be equal and to match. It's like, well.
Right.
No, you didn't. No, you don't. Because it's because of Christ that you don't have to face that, right?
And I want to be very, very clear. Just because we pour out our souls to the Lord doesn't mean that our heart says one thing and our actions should say something else.
Right.
They should be in complete alignment with our faith in God. And the majority of the time, man, Jesus said, a tree is known by its fruit. What is in that heart is going to come out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the reality. And so even though, you know, and I think about the conversations that we have about politics and the things that we're seeing around the world right now, I think that our expressions that we're verbalizing are definitely coming from a deep place in our heart. I would challenge you, and myself included, are the things that are coming from our heart aligned with what God wants to see happen in the world? Or are they aligned with what I really feel is not right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that if what we're expressing is truly not being Well, it's not being framed from the love that Christ has for these people. We might want to reconsider what we're feeling and make it obedient to Christ before we say anything.
Right.
And so, and that's why I think God wants us to just go ahead and share it. You know, like just recently, you know, I was telling you guys this before. There's an experience that I had on the road where after that terrible experience, you know, there were a lot of things running through my mind in the moment that I could have done. Afterward, I had to have a reflective moment. And I was praying, God, how is it that you really, truly want me to respond in something like this? And now I can honestly tell you, I don't have it all together.
Right.
But after that situation, After that situation, I began to realize, thank God that he's been working in my heart to be a lot more patient. Because I think maybe 10 to 15 years ago, things would have been a lot different.
Yeah, I think Nate's kind of burying the lead a little bit. But the instance he's talking about is somebody was very aggressive toward him in traffic and put him right in a not great spot. And I understand why he's not going into it. But just for context.
Yeah, it wasn't a good situation. And I almost lost my Christianity. No, I
didn't. No.
But honestly, there are those moments where we're faced with what we feel is a violation. How is it we're going to pray for the persecution, you know? And honestly, dude, this is such a minor, trivial thing. When people are being faced with the threats of their life because they believe in Jesus, as opposed to someone being rude on the road.
Right.
My rights being violated in some way that I really think they should be honored, it's so minimal compared to what truly matters. So if I can do a better job, this is what I want to do. I want to do a better job of aligning my heart and mind with what Christ wants to see happen in the world. Right. And I would challenge you to do the exact same thing. So when it comes to your relationship with God, don't make it a transactional thing. Align your life with him. You're supposed to be one with him. Christ is your life. And if that is the case, these kinds of prayers are about alignment. They're not without it. So, any other thoughts?
No.
I've thought my allotted amount of thoughts today. Okay.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. If you have any questions or anything else, just go ahead and send them to us, questions@osagehills.com.
Questions@osagehills.com.
We'll have another
question.
Another bonus episode coming out pretty soon because we have another question that we need to answer.
So Q&R.
About it, yeah.
That's question and response.
Yep, that's what it means. So, hope you guys have a great week.
Bye.
We'll see you this weekend.
Blessings.